Gospel of John, chapter 11. And our text, I'm sure you've already guessed, is the verse 32. When Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. By the way, they're the only words that are recorded as coming from the lips of Mary. Martha did all the talking, but Mary said very little. And these are the only words that Mary spoke that are recorded in the Gospels. And in the three recorded incidents involving Mary of Bethany, she is found on each occasion at the feet of Christ. When the Savior first of all visited her home, in Luke chapter 10, we find Martha serving, cumbered about much serving. But then we find Mary waiting at the feet of Jesus, waiting to hear a word and receive a word from the Lord. Here in John chapter 11, her brother Lazarus has died. And she goes to the Lord Jesus. And where do we find her whenever she meets with Christ? She goes weeping to Christ. And there she is, once again, at his feet. The third incident involving Mary of Bethany is over in the next chapter of John, John chapter 12. Lazarus has been raised from the dead. He's once again visiting that home in Bethany. Martha once more is serving. And we have to say and commend Martha. First time we read of Martha's serving, she was cumbered about much serving. She hadn't time to sit at the Savior's feet. She thought serving was more important than sitting at the feet of Christ. The Lord gently rebuked her. No doubt Martha took that rebuke to her heart. But she didn't, as we would say, take the huff and say, all right, I'm not going to serve anymore. No, she took the lesson, accepted the lesson as spoken by the Lord. And we find when the Lord Jesus went back to the house in Bethany, Martha's serving again. It's good when the Lord gives us grace to accept a word of rebuke, to accept it as from the Lord, to learn from it, and trust that we're better Christians because of it. Martha was a better Christian because of the Savior's rebuke. But the Lord is back in the house in Bethany, and once more Martha is serving. No doubt, a lot more careful this time. And where do we find Mary again? Why, she's worshipping at his feet. Because she has anointed him. So we find Mary on the three occasions she's referred to in the Gospels. We find her waiting at the Lord's feet. We find her weeping at the Lord's feet. And we find her worshipping at the Lord's feet. But there's something else. There's something else here about these three incidents and Mary and her sitting at the Lord's feet. First of all, when she sat at the Lord's feet hearing his word, we find that Mary sitting there, it was acknowledging Christ as prophet. Isn't that what a prophet does? Delivers and preaches the word. and declares the word and the will of God. And there's Mary sitting at the feet of her prophet. And then whenever Lazarus died and Mary is brokenhearted, she goes once again to Christ and once more she takes her place at his feet. And in so doing, she acknowledges Christ as her priest. Paul tells us in Hebrews that Jesus Christ, our great high priest, is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And so when Mary went to the feet of the Lord Jesus, brokenhearted and in tears, she knew that she would receive sympathy from her great high priest, the Lord Jesus. Then in John 12, Lazarus is raised from the dead. He's sitting at supper. Martha is serving. Mary once again goes to the feet of Christ. This time, she goes with an alabaster box of ointment and she anoints Christ. And in so doing, Mary is acknowledging Jesus Christ as her king. David, the king of Israel, was anointed by Samuel. He was the Lord's anointed. That was the practice. When kings came to the throne, they were anointed. Mary anoints the Lord Jesus. Now think of it. Prophet, priest, and king. Those are the three offices occupied and held by the Lord Jesus. Christ is our prophet, Christ is our priest, and Christ is our king. And so, believer, when you and I, by faith, go to the Lord Jesus and get down at his feet, we are acknowledging the Lord as prophet, as priest, and as king. That's what Mary was doing on the three occasions that we find her at the feet of the Lord. Now here on this occasion we find Mary in tears at the feet of Christ following the death of her brother Lazarus. The loss of a loved one, we know, because we've all been through that deep and dark valley at some time or another. We all know that the loss of a loved one is always a very difficult time and certainly very difficult to cope with. But Mary had one to whom she could turn. And she instinctively turned to the Lord Jesus in her time of need. And that's where we want to begin in this particular study of Mary at the feet of Christ. I want us to begin by looking at Mary and her sorrow. Before the last enemy had claimed Lazarus, he had been sick for a period of time. We're told that in verse 1, now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was at that time that Mary and her sister Martha informed the Savior. Not that he needed to be informed. He knows all things because he is God. Nevertheless, they went to him, and we're told in verse 3, therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. The two sisters and their brother enjoyed a very special relationship with the Lord Jesus. Look at verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. It's good to know that you're loved by Christ. This family in Bethany, no doubt, were loved by Christ. And here we have her love. Jesus Christ was her love. Jesus Christ meant more to Mary than any other person on the face of the earth. And Mary knew that the Lord Jesus loved her. And when trouble comes, and when tragedy comes, the first people we want to inform are those who are our nearest and dearest. Those whom we love and those who we know love us. You'll go to your closest friends. Well, that's what Mary did, along with her sister. She went to her closest friend. She went to Christ. Look there at their contact. The first person they contacted was the one who was nearest and dearest to them, namely the Lord Jesus. Their brother was sick, and then we read, therefore, his sisters sent unto him. But look at that word, therefore. Therefore, his sister sent unto him. Therefore. That word tells us that Mary and her sister Martha couldn't do anything else but go and tell Jesus. Therefore, to Mary and to Martha, it was the most natural thing to do was to go and tell Christ. Was to go and inform the Lord that the him whom thou lovest, Lord, he's sick at this time. You see, they never thought of doing anything else but go and tell the Lord. Therefore, they went and told Jesus. This reminds me of what the disciples of John did. When John was murdered, beheaded, it was a great blow to the witness of the church. And no doubt the enemies of the gospel thought that they had won the day. Of course, a greater than John had arrived upon the scene. But whenever John was murdered, his disciples went and took his body. Listen to what is written about John's disciples. And his disciples came and took up the body and buried it. Listen. They took up the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. They had just been relieved of the burden of John's body. They had carried that burden to its resting place. But there was one burden that they could not remove. It was the burden that was upon their hearts. Their beloved John had been murdered. How were they going to be relieved of this burden? How were they going to have their broken hearts mended? How were they going to have this pain of parting removed? They knew what to do. They went and told Jesus. Mary and Martha, when their brother took ill, was laid in a bed of sickness, there was only one thing for them to do as far as they were concerned. That was to go and tell Jesus. And dear Christian, how good it is, and what a blessing it is, that whenever trials and tribulations come our way, and we go through times of testing, there is someone whom we can confide in. We can go and tell Jesus. And praise God, whenever we know the Lord as our Savior, that means we're on speaking terms with Him. so we can go and tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, he kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for his own. I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. He is a kind, compassionate friend. If I but ask him, he will deliver. Make of my troubles quickly an end. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus. I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. Jesus can help me. Jesus alone. Praise his name. That's how Mary felt. Because nobody can help us at this time but the Lord Jesus. So they went and told Jesus. And being loved by Christ meant, regarding Mary, she not only contacted him, but she was also comforted by him. Sometimes when a loved one is sick, it can be a source of great comfort just to know that those around you love you. They maybe don't need to do anything, but just to know they're there, and they're there for you, and they're there because they love you. And they love the one who is sick. You're supported. You're strengthened. You're stead by their love and their expressions of affection. But how much greater is that comfort when that love is the love of Christ? For his is a deep love. His is a divine love. His is the love of God. What did Paul say about love? Love or charity is suffereth long and is kind. Beareth all things. He goes on to say, it never faileth. Praise God, the love of Christ will never fail us, especially in our time of loss, our time of need. This is the comforting love of Christ which Mary experienced in her time of sorrow. I'm sure, believer, you have said, as I have many times, I said, how do the unsaved, how do the ungodly get through the trials and the troubles of life without Christ? You said that, I'm sure. Speaking to a young woman just last week in her church in Orlando, and her father died a number of months ago, a tragic, tragic death. And speaking to her about it, she says, I don't know how I could have got through it without the Lord. And she says, I don't know how the unsaved, those who don't know the Lord, face their difficulties and their trials without the Lord. How would Mary and Martha have faced this trial without the Lord? But they knew the Lord loved them, and they were comforted by that very fact. Well, there's somebody who loves us, and that somebody is Christ. And believer, whenever you are lonely and going through some trial, and you know that others don't understand anything about how you feel, you can remember this and rest in this and stand in this, that Jesus Christ knows, and He's the one who loves you. As He loved Mary, we rejoice that when we know Christ, then in our troubles, we have those everlasting arms to embrace us. The hand of omnipotence to uphold us. And the love of God to comfort us. What more do we need? There's Mary's love that leads us to Mary's loss. We know it was a loss for Martha also, but since we're concentrating primarily on Mary, it was a loss for Mary. Even though the Lord had been informed about Lazarus and his sickness, we read, Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Verse 14. Here you have the shock that it must have been to Mary and Martha. And this is something that we cannot overlook. This must have come as a tremendous shock to both Mary and her sister Martha. First of all, they had sent unto Him, unto the Lord, saying, Lord, he whom Thou lovest is sick, yet Lazarus still died. Had the Lord not answered their prayers? Had the Lord shown an indifference to the need of Lazarus and in turn to the two sisters? They knew that with assurance the Lord Jesus loved them. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, yet Lazarus still died. Can you imagine the doubts that perhaps rose up in their minds? We told the Lord that our brother died. The Lord loves us, but our brother died. This may have been difficult for Mary to understand, for she had looked to the Lord in her brother's sickness. She was loved by the Lord, her Savior, but still Lazarus was allowed to die. You know, believer, sometimes things happen in your life and in mine that we cannot understand. We cannot understand, neither can we explain it. The Lord, of course, is the one who is in control. I remember Dr. Alan Cairn saying to a person in his church in Northern Ireland when some tragedy had affected the home and the family, and he couldn't explain why it had happened, and neither could the family. And Dr. Cairn says, listen, all we can do is rest in the sovereignty of God. And you know, whenever you get to a stage and a point in life when things happen that you can't understand, that's all you can do. In fact, that's what we ought to do all the time. Just rest in the sovereignty of God. The Lord knows best. Didn't the Lord tell His disciples that Lazarus was dead, and then He said, I am glad. Because you see, out of the death of Lazarus, Christ was going to be glorified. A number of years ago, in Ulster, a group of believers went out one day for a bus trip. Bus was filled, coach. And they toured around the Antrim coast and all some of the beauty spots of Northern Ireland. On their way home, they were going into the town of Carrickfergus. They were going to have a meal together there. As the bus driver brought the coach down this narrow country road, it was going down the hill too fast, and there was a sharp bend where there was a stone wall or a bridge, and the coach crashed. A number of people were injured and one person was killed. She was a Christian. A lovely Christian. I knew her. And the questions were raised, why did the Lord allow this to happen? A coach load of believers just out for a day of fellowship. And this accident happened. It's hard to explain. All you could do was rest in the sovereignty of God. But let me tell you this. As a result of that bus crash and that woman being killed, a friend of that woman who had been preached to for years but always rejected Christ, as a result of that crash and that woman's death, that woman's friend received the Lord as her Savior. Now it all became clear. The person who was killed was ready to go. She was simply taken to a higher service. But many who were left behind were not saved. And one woman in particular, as a result of that crash and that woman's death, she received the Lord. Isn't it amazing that the Lord sometimes has to do these things and take drastic measures to awaken people to their need of Jesus Christ? It's hard for Martha and Mary, no doubt, to understand. They have her sadness or her shock, but also there is here her silence. When circumstances seem to be going against us, it is difficult to remain silent. Isn't it? We've already pointed out that we have in verse 32 the only words spoken by Mary that are recorded in the gospel. It's the fourth day. Lazarus has been dead 4 days. Not one word is recorded as coming from the lips of Mary. Martha, once again, she's done all the talking. But there you have Mary's silence. It's hard to remain silent when things are going against you. Yet that's what Mary did. She did not lash out at the Lord. She did not criticize the Lord for allowing this to happen. No, in fact, she believed if the Lord had been there, Lazarus would not have died. And soon her faith would be increased to see whether Lazarus was sick or dead, Christ could still raise him up. Mary didn't say a word. And I've been with folk. And they've lost a loved one. And they found it hard to come to terms with it. And they've become very bitter against the Lord. They've blamed it all on the Lord. Not so Mary. She sat in silence there in her home. This reminds me very much of that man who had gone out one day and had to dig 10 graves. 10 graves. Not one, 10 graves. And into those graves he placed his 10 children. He returned to his house. And it is written what Job said. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charge God the least. Mary was a woman of few words. She said very little. She suffered in her silence. She did not doubt his love nor criticize his ways, but simply came to his feet to worship him. Oh, that's what it's all about. That's what it is to be a person who spends much time at the feet of Christ. In times of need, there's only one place to go, the feet of Christ. And there's Mary, and she's at the feet of the Lord again. And by so doing, by going to the feet of the Lord, this indicates to us that Mary simply submitted herself to the ways and to the will of God. This is hard to do. It's hard to do. Even for the strongest believers, it's hard to do. Submit yourself to the ways of a sovereign God. That's what Mary did. As Maxwell Cornelius wrote, not now, but in the coming years, it may be in the better land, we'll read the meaning of our tears, and there sometime we'll understand. Then trust in God through all thy days. Fear not, for he doth hold thy hand. Though dark thy way, still sing and praise. Sometime, believer, sometime, up there, we'll understand. We'll understand. And I'll tell you something else. When we understand it up there, and we see the picture clearer, you know what we'll say? We'll say, my Lord doeth all things well. He doeth all things well. We come now to Mary and her Savior. Just a couple of points. When the sisters were told of the Lord's coming, we're told that Martha went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Verse 20. Why did Mary sit still in the house? Well, that's one of those questions. Maybe a more learned individual can give you the answer, but I don't know what the answer is. why Mary sat still in the house. I have thought, perhaps, even though it was the fourth day since the death of her brother Lazarus, I thought perhaps Mary was still in shock. You don't get over a thing like that in a matter of days. But after the Savior had ministered to Martha, he sent for Mary in verse 28. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. What do we have here? We have here from the Lord Jesus, her Savior, a word for Mary. Martha relayed that word of the Lord to Mary. And she said to Mary, the Master is come, and he calleth for thee. What a word that was. And again, in times of sorrow, that is what we need most of all, isn't it? A word from the Lord. A word that will sustain us and strengthen us and carry us through. Oh, if only we had a word from the Lord. And no one knows how to speak the right word better than the Lord Jesus. Maybe you have experienced it. Someone near and dear to you has passed away. I remember when my mother died. I remember speaking to a brother in the Lord who had also lost his mother a few months before. And I remember saying to him, brother, how long does the pain last? How long does the pain last? And here's Mary. She just needed the right word. And the Lord had the word for her. And no one but no one can speak a word in season better than the Lord Jesus. When things happen to us and we're sorrowful and we'll have a brother or sister or friends, companions come to us and put their arms around us and they say they love us and they're praying for us and anything we can do to help you, just let us know. And we're very appreciative of that. But it doesn't hit the mark, sure it doesn't. It doesn't bind up the heart that's broken. It doesn't soothe the pain. It's still there. Mary received a word from the Lord. In Isaiah 50 verse 4, the Lord Jesus says, this is Christ speaking, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak, that I should know how to speak. And a word in season to him that is weary. That word learned, the Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned. That word learned there means accustomed. In other words, the Lord Jesus was well accustomed to speaking a word in season. He had experience. And no wonder Mary and Martha went to the Lord. They knew he was the experienced comforter. They knew he knew how to speak a word in season. He had the tongue of the learned. And dear Christian, again, when trials come, go to the Lord and get a word from him. It'll help. It'll help to bind up that heart that's broken. It'll help to ease the pain. Just to know that Jesus understands. You have there a word for Mary that was about the Master's coming. Martha said, the Master has come and calleth for thee. The And many of the Jews, we're told, had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. And this, no doubt, was greatly appreciated. But who can cheer the heart like Jesus by his presence, all divine, true and tender, pure and precious, oh, how blessed, call in mind. And in the time of sorrow, what we need is for the Savior to come to us. In our loneliness, we need the Lord to come to us. In our lamentations, we need the Lord to come to us. In our loss, we need the Lord to come to us. And the Lord came to Mary. And Mary went to him. Give the Master's compassion. The Lord Jesus went to a certain place and he had been ministering to Martha and ministering to Martha and ministering to Martha, but he hadn't forgotten about Mary. There's the compassion of Christ. The Savior had spent time talking to Martha, but he was still thinking about Mary. And he said to Martha, go. Tell Mary, Master is come and he calleth for thee. Shows us that at this time of deep sorrow and loss, Mary was in the heart of Christ. Mary was in the mind of Christ. Mary was in the thoughts of Christ. Amid the trials that I meet, amid the thorns that pierce my feet, one thought remains supremely sweet. Thou thinkest, Lord, of me. Thou thinkest, Lord, of me. What need I fear since thou art near? Thinkest, Lord, of me. Just to know the Lord's thinking about us is nearly enough. But he was thinking of Mary, talking to Martha, but he was thinking about Mary. Mary went, or Martha went with the message, the Master has come. Call for me. There's the call of the Master. Martha said to Mary, the Master has come and calleth for thee. And sitting in the house with her pain and her memories of her brother Lazarus, the Lord's word for Mary was, come unto me. Come unto me. Mary, come unto me. You may be sitting there in your home. You've been sitting there for 4 days. You may be pained and sad and sorrowful and brokenhearted. But Mary, come unto me. Come unto me. You can't and you don't need to bear this burden alone. Come unto me. Had the Lord not said in another place, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's what he was saying to Mary. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. You know, there are many today, in this great land of Canada, many today in this province, many today in this town, and they're sitting at home today, and they're beaten, and they're battered, and they're burdened. And you know what they're saying? They're saying, can nobody help me? And all the while, there stands Christ. And Christ, with open arms, says, come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Is there anyone can help me? One who understands our hearts when the thorns of life have pierced them till they bleed. One who sympathizes with us, who in wondrous love imparts just the very, very blessing that I need. The answer comes back, yes, there's one. Only one. The blessed, blessed Jesus, he's the one. When afflictions press the soul, when the waves of trouble roll, And you need a friend to help you. Hallelujah. He's the one. He's the one. And Mary came. When she came, she fell down at his feet. We'll spend time, Lord willing, next Sabbath morning with Mary at the feet of Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our loving and eternal God, we bless thee for that sweet place. Place of fellowship, feet of Christ. O Lord, I pray thou would write thy holy word upon hearts today. For any, Lord, who have that secret burden lying heavy upon their heart, may they take to heart the words of Martha to Mary, the Master is coming. He calleth for thee. Have us, Lord, to go to thee, cast all our burden upon thyself. For thou art the great burden bearer. May thy word, Lord, be a blessing to many souls today. Be with us now, O Lord, as we part the one from the other.